Hello, and welcome to the next episode of Takeoff, a podcast where we dive into the stories of innovation told by the people driving the future of mobility with insights on aviation, automotive, automation, and some funny things thrown in for good measure. How's it going, Ryan? I'm so happy to have you today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Great to be with you again.
So we're at the Serve Conference, and we thought we'd take some time to sit down and dive into what you all are doing at CBG. What is your past and your history, and what do you see as the trends and technologies shaping the future of aviation? So first off, just tell me a little bit about you and how did you get into this role at CBG?
Sure. Quite a few questions in there. So let's tackle them one at a time. Where do I start? So I went to Embry-Riddle University to become a pilot. And unfortunately, back then, the pilot shortage didn't quite come to fruition. We were going through economic upheavals in the U.S. and frankly around the world. So several airlines went out of business. As we know, the industry is incredibly volatile, which will have some implications to where we go later on in this conversation. But ultimately, the pilot aspect did not work out. However, I came home and started working with a fledgling new airline, a relatively new airline, that was the launch customer for the RJ, the 50-seat passenger aircraft. Back then, it just became wildly successful. The airline just went to the moon. Very fortunate that continued to promote throughout my career to the point where it was so popular, so successful at that airline that unfortunately, again, economic upheaval took its toll and the airline went out of business. I kind of saw the end coming, so I jumped to the airport side. Always at the same airport, frankly, so very fortunate, 34 years.
Well, that's absolutely amazing, and I don't even think I, of course, know what you do, but if you want to tell our visitors, like, have you had a progression at that airport, and you want to bring
it? Sure. So back then to Neil, in the U.S., particularly for hubs, the airports, and we were once a hub, the focus was more on, from a customer aspect, it was more from the marketing department.
Okay.
And that was working with the airline to talk about the airline brand. So it really wasn't about an airport.
Okay.
I came on board and was the first customer experience vice president for the airport. And it really started to pivot because we were no longer that hub. We really had to diversify and recognize, you know, there were multiple carriers flying there. How do we win back the customers that were driving to other surrounding airports? So yeah, that was my first step. And then ultimately, because of, again, economic challenges, we frankly found solutions in the startup
market. Okay.
So really, we were innovating before we technically were officially innovating. I think anyone can identify at some point in their career that they were looking for something different. They took on that very challenging task and they were successful. So, you know, to some degree, my entire career has been filled with those scenarios and successful to the point where we decided to create an innovation.
Oh, and you guys are so well known for being so innovative. Like, yeah, it's always amazing seeing you guys speak at conferences. Obviously, here there's a panel that you're going to be talking about automation and, of course, some of the exciting things that we're doing in this space. But as a whole, what have you been seeing as, you know, the trends in the technology space at your airport and across the globe?
Well, there's certainly trends, but I do want to roll back a little bit and say, what do we see as a trend that frankly could catch people off guard? So if you look back at our history and frankly, my career trajectory, recognizing the industry is so cyclical, we know it's going to happen again. So how are we insulating ourselves? And frankly, any Fortune 500 company should be doing that as well. So from that perspective, we've just really tried to focus on, is it labor? To our benefit, we're the sixth largest hub in North America for cargo and 18th around the world. When we brought on our second cargo partner, Amazon Air, incredibly fortunate from that perspective, but we also recognized we could get in a scenario where labor is kind of heading towards the cargo sector, not necessarily on the customer side. How do we not take a detriment to that experience?
Yeah.
So labor, automation, how do we fill labor gaps, not replacing labor by any stretch? And frankly, that's how we started to find organizations like yours.
It's So that kind of leads us to, I guess, some work that we're touching on. So of course, you know, Aurigo baggage handling and cargo vehicles and moving baggage and cargo airside at CDG. It's been really exciting because the weather there lately has been extremely cold. I'm in Ottawa, Canada. It's a couple of days where it was actually colder than it was where we were at, because we were training a couple of our teammates out there to check things out. But I think it's always really exciting to have these innovative partners that recognize, you know, you can't simulate every single situation and you need to be on the ground with these innovative airports and you need to test in all of these types of conditions and you need to start to familiarize this technology. And I know you've been going out and we actually have an upcoming presentation together. Yeah, Passenger Terminal Expo. So stay tuned for that. You and Miles will be kind of sitting down and chatting about, you know, what were the trials and tribulations of getting this up and running? And if you can tell me a little bit, how did that, I mean, that's a big innovation in itself, is a big step. But then saying we want to bring these self-driving vehicles airside in these heavily regulated environments, you know, what were some of the challenges that you faced getting into that space?
Well, you certainly touched on them, and there are deliverables to be expected throughout our statement of work, as we're familiar with. But again, let's back up a little bit. The innovation aspect, the term innovation just means so many different things for so many different people, right? And frankly, there's an aspect from, I would say, the general public, our frontline staff, that is it the team that works with just the cool new stuff? And are they actually delivering anything, or are they just looking at the cool new stuff? However, it's totally recognizing that frontline staff that is making it happen every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Back from the customer side, what are we doing to make sure that our staff is ready to go, armed with the best, to deliver the best possible experience? Now, on the vehicle itself, again, we recognize there might be a day where we're challenged. And when I say we, it's a collective.
Yeah.
If you remember, in the U.S., we don't own that type of equipment as the airport.
Yeah.
So we jumped out way ahead. Before Aurigo, we ended up being the first airport in the world to actually have an operating autonomous vehicle around employees and aircraft. So
the biggest out.
Because of there's lessons learned, we knew that it could be done. So let's continue that cadence.
Yeah.
Let's continue to help to the point where now we're very fortunate where regulatory agencies have reached out, asking us for help and understanding what do we need to do to prepare? What are regulations on the back end? And ultimately, how do we integrate this into our world?
Yeah. And integration is a big key. We talk about, you know, automation, but even like you mentioned, taking it a step back, moving towards net zero goals, we talk about just electrification in general. And it seemingly comes hand in hand with newer tech automated vehicles. But as you just start to have manually driven vehicles that were, you know, diesel switching over to electric, you know, have you guys run into any challenges in particular with, you know, trying to understand what does that space look like for charging and being able to support this movement into the space?
100%. And that, frankly, that's why we're at this conference, right? So the electrification future of ground mobility. The key for us is, particularly at this conference, we're not just an airport, we're a port. So there are various threads that we can pull. But first and foremost, just like Aurigo, we have tenants right now that are operating that are saying we would love to bring electric vehicles, but the infrastructure is not there. So they're kind of getting hand-me-downs of traditional ICE. That can't necessarily work for the long haul. So we have got to figure out how do we address those concerns. Immediately, is it into, you know, really mobile solutions until we determine what's the hard infrastructure and when? It's the partnership aspects. So it's one thing to have a wonderful working relationship with all of our tenants, but what are we doing with Big Energy? To also sit with them to say, what's your crystal ball? Where are you headed? And frankly, those conversations have just really started to transpire where what's the total capacity that we have on this massive campus, not just this little segment, that's the passenger operation. So if we can look at that grand scheme to figure out what's the total and then just start reducing.
And the full reason why we've watched. Not just, and there's so many government grants that are going out for electrification that you often see people taking advantage and almost just throwing spaghetti at the wall and putting a charger here, a charger there. versus really thinking through what does that look like over time. Of course, we saw that as some issues with some of our previous partners that we've been trying to work with them to develop software to actually plan this out. But I don't even know if that's really being done as much, even, you know, for automotive in general. Like, obviously, we're talking about aviation, but, you know, you really need to start looking at that for the grid. And I think when you talk about partnerships, what's interesting, I don't know your thought on this, but, you know, you have great relationships with your partners, but it's not necessarily true that the individual airlines have great partnerships with each other with this space. So you think, you know, they have their fleet and they want an X amount of chargers. But if you could find a way to have everybody collectively start to organize their fleet needs and then say, how do we do this as a team? It's just so much more beneficial. You know, you can basically have less chargers. You can free up more space. So it'll be interesting to see how they work together.
I completely agree. In fact, that was one of our initial conversations, right?
You're asking them.
You know, good, better, best. Good is how do we get the equipment in and in place and in working? Better is, all right, how do we start really trying to reduce greenhouse gas emissions? That third tier is exactly as you described. In the U.S., the traditional model is everyone brings their own equipment. However, in a spoke city, and we're a spoke city now, in a spoke city, it's just large peaks and large valleys of activity. Does it make economic sense for everyone to continue to make those massive capital investments, including the airport, and ask of the airport to include all of that massive capital expense related to infrastructure, when if we just partner, it really works strategically to say, wait a minute, out of all of this moving ground equipment, could we pool some of those? Just, and by pool, it's like there's a collective where we're all sharing the equipment, and then you throw in automation. So if those basic milk runs, as we kind of call them, from spot A to spot B, is that really the highest, best use of the individual today that's driving that vehicle? Or do we put them plane side for weight and balance? Super, super important, obviously, and super safety. Or better yet, do we put them right in front of the customer and we re-engage with the consumer to really make them feel valued for that brand experience? But on the backside, with all of that automation opportunity, streamlining the operation. And Frank, you know, now we're back to who made those capital investments, and ultimately, is it significantly value add for the tenants to operate, and by tenants, airlines to operate out of that airport?
Yeah.
Because the overall cost of operation has been dramatically reduced.
Yeah. And you speak about like bringing the customer experience, you know, back to the forefront. I feel like we do all of this technology so that the passenger experience is enhanced. But at the same time, you know, some tech is having the opposite effect. And I won't say what airport I was at, but I recently went to an airport, and I'm not, you know, I'm sure you're the same. You know, I don't get to the airport 3 or 4 hours early. You know, I am like, I get there, you know, with enough time to move things through. And I was a little bit extra early once, and the people weren't even there to check me in. And there was no like kiosks. So the tech wasn't there, but the airline was obviously struggling and no one was there until like moments before. I was actually kind of really hustling to get to the gate, and I was quite shocked. And I, you know, looked into feedback, and it was very much so, you know, well, we're trying to make the passenger journey better. But where it began was me being so frustrated that I actually got to an airport early because I was told it was going to be extra busy and no one was there to check me in.
So I might be that guy that shows up 3 to 4 hours in advance to see what the competition's doing and what should we be on the lookout for.
I'm sure you look at things so differently now when you travel.
It's a very different eye.
Yeah, me too.
But candidly, we still sit down today with, frankly, starting with our startups. In the course of the conversation, we asked them, your travel journey, tell us about
it. How was that? That's been great.
If you could change something about aviation, because there's probably a frustrating point at some point, what would you like to see that would be vastly different than today's experience? So we really do try to incorporate, you know, the feedback and feelings of many. And then I would also touch on, you know, I think the missed opportunity, frankly, is, are we working with our frontline staff enough to actually put the tech in their hands first so that they can help understand it's more about change management as opposed to here, make this work.
Yes.
And frankly, that's where we have failed sometimes.
I appreciate you saying that. And I feel like that is kind of an overall synergy that you start to see because, you know, especially in the automation space, often these trials start as a proof of concept and it's not done at the ground handling level in our instance, right? So, and you see this across multiple POCs though in tech. So oftentimes, as opposed to those people that it would benefit most being able to be a part of it, they are almost looking through the window trying to understand, you know, why they aren't involved. And I think that collaboration is really going to be key moving forward, bringing people in sooner, obviously speaking about things sooner. You mentioned that you talk one-on-one, you know, and ask these questions. What would you say over the past year has been like either the coolest or most innovative piece of tech that you've seen at a conference or heard maybe from someone in an interview?
So someone just touched on it, and I'm not sure if you picked up on it, but ask about data centers. We're at a transportation conference.
Yes. Interesting. Yeah.
So the key is, and very few people have really seen this, there's been such a drumbeat around EVs or hybrids taking such a drain on the grid. Mm-hmm. However, this thing called AI is just exponentially
taking over.
Right. So what we're technically 2 years plus into ChatGPT world. Obviously, there are other large learning language models. However, that AI, it's taking a tremendous amount of power, tremendous amount of power that makes EVs or hybrids just a fraction of what the AI world is talking about. So if you look at any of the big tech firms, they're making their investments in data centers. Just keep pulling that thread of, is there an opportunity for data centers at airports? And is there an opportunity with those data centers and the power that's being generated? Can some of that power be fluctuated throughout the day to support the operation?
Very interesting.
Think about the resiliency of such a critical asset like an airport, that the resiliency always isn't there right now for all of our systems. So you start adding a layer of benefit to the resilient grid. And then do we really, as a campus, offer an opportunity as a backup to the grid to the traditional big energy company? Any number of scenarios that you can pull throughout.
That's very cool. Yeah, I think that, and that's a new one that I think people often go to things like, you know, specific automation or things that they see at CES and robotics and sharing trends. But I think really that one is powerful and we're going to see so much more coming up about it. Of course, you know, politically, we're hearing a lot of things in data centers and such. So it'll be very interesting to see how that starts to happen and unfold in the U.S. and, of course, globally as well. My last question is, being that you wanted to be a pilot, do you have your own pilot's license or did you kind of circle that?
I do. There's dust on the pilot's license. So, yeah, I'm a certified flight instructor, instrument rated, and a certified commercial.
So we want you on the plane in case of, you know,
well, it's been a while. You could
maybe take over.
I might be able to figure out most of
the buttons. I don't think I've ever seen so many buttons in one place than in a cockpit. But thank you so much for joining.
It's
very cool to have you on. And I think you provide some amazing insights. So
thanks so much.
Stay tuned for the next episode. Thanks for following. And we'll bring you something new and exciting in a couple weeks' time.
Brilliant.
Thanks. Cheers.